I wanted to discuss today two inyanim in the parsha that on the surface seem to have very little to do with one another. But actually, as I was thinking more about what I wanted to share with you today and to learn with you today, I actually think they're two sides of the same coin and they have to go together. So sometimes, you know, you prepare two independent ideas and they end up being like kaftor v'ferach, they have to mamash be together. This week's parsha, we all know, of course, that Yaakov meets Rachel and falls in love with her. And his no goodnik shver, not like my shver, who's very good, but his no goodnik shver is successful in fooling his son-in-law. But before he even fools his son-in-law, he makes this most ridiculous, outlandish deal that the only way that Yaakov, his future son-in-law, could marry his daughter is by working for 7 years, and after 7 years he could marry Rachel. Of course, we all know Rachel gave the signs, Laban would marry the younger one before the older one, and so ultimately Leah marries Yaakov, and then another week later, subsequently, Rachel does as well. But he had to wait 7 arduous, what would seem to be long, never-ending years. But did you ever look at the way the Torah describes that 7-year period for Yaakov? How would you have thought that the Torah described that period? It was never ending. All he kept thinking about, dreaming about, is marrying his beloved. The Torah in one pasuk describes that 7-year period in his life in a way you wouldn't believe, and most of us couldn't possibly expect. Says the Torah, "Vayavod Yaakov baruch el sheva shanim." Yaakov worked for Rachel 7 years. And this is shocking. It felt just like a few days. Felt like a few days. That which you're looking forward to felt like a few days. Things that you look forward to feels like it's never going to get there. And the things you're not looking forward to feels like it's coming right at you. What do you mean? How could Yaakov, 7 years is a really long time. How could it be that Yaakov's experience, this 7-year period, be just like a few days? So Rav Pinkus, who, if you haven't yet figured out, I'm a big chassid of, Rav Pinkus in two different places addresses this question. I'm actually going to share with you how it comes actually connected to the Sfiras HaOmer that we go through a little bit later on in the year. But on the spot over here, he quotes from the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, Rav Aaron Kolizatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of Beis Medrash Gavoa in Lakewood. And he explains with the following mashal, incredible mashal. You have it in front of you in case you want to read it later, so Rabbi Brand, you don't think I'm making it up. He comes with the following mashal. Listen to this. He says, imagine a person would be approached about a business opportunity. And he said, in 100 days from now, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million. How are those next 100 days going to feel? Every minute. Every hour, and every day just never ending. All I want is the million. It feels like it's never going anywhere. But what says Rav Aaron, what happens if, let's say, the business person comes to you and says, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a job every single day. And at 5 p.m. every single day, when you accomplish that job, I'm going to write you a check for 10 grand. And every day, Shabbos will have to figure out how you figure that part out. Maybe you're the Rav of the Shul, so you give you drushes. Every day you get your $10,000, assuming you've accomplished the goal that he has set for you. How is every one of those days going to feel? I don't have enough time. I got to finish my job. If I don't finish by 5 o'clock, I'm out that 10 grand. I don't get my millions of dollars. Every single day building up to that crescendo, to that apex, to that pinnacle of ultimately receiving the final $10,000 when I've completed the mission and I get my $1 million, we'll pay taxes later, right at the end of the day, I'm going to feel like I never had enough time. I'm panting the whole time, right? Says the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, says Rav Pinkus quoting Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, that was Yaakov. See, we always thought that Yaakov was just waiting around, working for Laban, twiddling his thumbs, just waiting for Rachel to marry him. Says the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, you misunderstood what Yaakov was doing during those 7 years. Yaakov knew his grandfather wasn't the father of the Shifteka, and his father was not going to be the father of the Shifteka. And he was the last one. He knew he was going to be the father of the Shiftei Yisrael. being the father of the 12 tribes, being the father of literally B'nai Yisrael, was no easy task. That's not a small level of responsibility. Yaakov understood he needed to prepare for that level of responsibility. When you feel like and you know that in 7 years' time, you're going to start having a lot of children and all those children are going to amount to the Shiftei Ka, if I don't start preparing now, I'm not going to be successful in building that Knesset Yisrael. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, that's why it felt like just a few days. Because to him, every second of that experience, he's running out of time. I got to make sure that I build it. If I don't build those Yisodos right now, how am I going to build Knesset Yisrael? Vayuk Yamim Achadim was just like a few days. I didn't have enough time. That, says Rav Aaron, is pshat in how this felt like just a few days. In fact, Rav Pinkus uses this Yisod of Rav Aaron Cutler to explain a conundrum, something that was somewhat difficult for us to understand as it relates to Sfiras HaOmer. There's a very famous question in Sfiras HaOmer that the Sefer HaChinuch addresses, and that is, why do we have this count? And the Sefer HaChinuch writes beautifully, I really highly recommend you read it inside for yourself, because we know that anytime you're excited about something, you count down. And so from the period of Pesach until Shavuos, the greatest way to express that excitement is by counting down to Kabbalah Satorah. The problem is, we don't count down. We count how many days have passed. We don't say how many days are left over. We say how many days have passed. So Sefer HaChinuch, what's pshat? According to your answer, that it's all about getting excited. 10 days, 9 days. No, we don't do that. We don't do 6 weeks and 1 day, 6 weeks and Tuesdays. What's pshat? That's not the way to generate that excitement. That's not a way to intensify what I'm looking forward to. Says Rav Pinkus, Yamim Achadim, Zok Tehelig Rav Aaron. Because Sfiras HaOmer is not just looking to where we're going, but in order to get there, what do we got to do? We got to build every single day of Sfiras HaOmer. We got to be Kohen Torah in a different way every day till we get to the 48th level. We're capable of being Mekabel the Torah. It's not just generating the excitement of where we're going, but we got to make sure that we build on yesterday in order to ultimately get there. And I think that that's a very powerful idea, because as Jewish people, I think we are all struck with, in many good ways, it's a good thing, but oftentimes it's a challenge thing. We're overachievers. We're super goal-oriented, and all we're focused on is getting to the end. And I think that in order to really intensify one's Avodas Hashem, every so often you've got to take a step back. First of all, appreciate where you are and where you've come from in order to determine what the next step is going to be. You want to be able to build yourself. You want to be able to build a relationship with the Kaddosh Baruch Hu to become a Talmid Chacham. You can't do that if you don't strategically develop an action plan to get there. You can't just think about getting to the finish line, but you got to build and build and build. And that's Yaakov Avinu. And that's Bnei Yisrael preparing for Kabbalah Satorah. It's not about just where we're going, but ultimately we need to know from where we come from and to continue to build to ultimately get to that point. I'm not done, Rabbi Brand. I'm not done. Hold off for 1 second. Let me just finish, and then I'm happy to take any questions. What makes this even more compelling is if you look on the back page, what would seem to be a completely irrelevant piece of information as it relates to what I'm talking about, but couldn't be more connected. Mr. Trom, you're going to love this. Trust me. Here we go. Famous statement in the Haggadah. Pesach's a long way off. Don't tell your wives. They don't have to start cleaning. It's a long way off. The Haggadah makes a very unusual statement. It says, Tsei ulamad ma bikesh lovan ha'arami lasos the Yaakov Avinu. You want to know who's worse, says the Baal Haggadah? Lovan's worse than Paro. Lovan's worse than Paro. Paro killed the Zecharim. Lavan was out to destroy the Jewish people. Huh? Have you read this story? Have you seen anywhere that Lavan tried to kill or commit genocide to annihilate the Jewish people? Paro, that's Mefurash and the Psukim. Every Jewish boy and non-Jewish person in the Yaar and the Nile. Lavan's worse? Where do you see that anywhere? You know where you see it? At the very end of this week's Parsha. Lavan realizes, I'm not going to beat Yaakov. Yaakov is always going to have the upper hand. So if you can't beat him, join him. So let's merge. I told my kids the other day that if I wasn't going to be a rabbi, I wanted to be an attorney and I wanted to do mergers and acquisitions. Then my kids asked me what mergers and acquisitions were. That was a much longer conversation, okay? So merge. sign the paperwork, get your lawyer out, and we could do great business together. And that's exactly what he says. He says, Elokei Avraham, ve'elokei Nachor, yishpetu b'neinu, Elokei Aviyam. Like, let's join forces. Your grandfather's God, my grandfather's God, we'll make it together, and we'll be a beautiful mishpacha. What is Yaakov's response? Yaakov's response is, Vayishpe Yaakov b'fachad aviv Yitzchak. I will only swear with the God of my father. Let's unpack this for a minute. What's going on? Lavan wants to merge with Yaakov and his kids. Were that to happen, Klal Yisrael would have been over. We are all unfortunately witnessing a spiritual holocaust of the 16 million people that are Jewish. I'm not even sure if a million are frum. Maybe a million are frum. I'm not even sure that many. A very low percentage. There is a spiritual holocaust. We see the direct, incredibly damaging, dangerous results of assimilation. There's no question, had Yaakov signed on that contract to merge with Lavan, Klal Yisrael, as we know it, would have been terminated. That's why the Baal Haggadah says, Paro was only trying to kill the men. Had Lavan been successful, he wouldn't have physically killed us, but we would have been over. Our core values, who we are, what we believe in, would no longer be in existence. And that's why Lavan was worse. But Yaakov was much smarter than Lavan. And Yaakov saw, if I merge with you, it's over for us. Vayishpe Yaakov b'fachad aviv Yitzchak. I'm only going to accept the value system, the ethics, the morals, the theology of my father Yitzchak. Lavan, I'm not in. Find another partner. And I think that this is an incredible statement because we live in a world today surrounded by a lot of different things. And it's oftentimes very alluring. It's very appealing. And we think of ourselves as, yes, we're from people, but we're going to embrace the modern world. And while that is absolutely true, and while there are many things that the world has to offer, is very critical to our Avodas Hashem, the amount of Torah that we have access to on the internet, allowing Torah to be accessible with art school and other types of modalities, to be able to learn Torah and to understand Torah, there's no question. But I think often we have to remind ourselves of being true to who we are. And that's why I think these two ideas actually go very much hand in hand. Yaakov Avinu understood that in order to have the Jewish people, he had to prepare himself to build the foundation of Klal Yisrael and know exactly who he was at all times, to not lose focus, to not lose an understanding, and to be confident and secure in his identity. And only because he spent those 7 years working on his identity and being able to indoctrinate and inculcate into his home that very identity, was he able to repel those who are trying to destroy him. And that is something that we, living in the generation we are in, we have to work on. We can't allow things that are counter, contrary, inconsistent with our values, with our morals, to seep in and say, you know what, a little bit here, a little bit there, it's not so damaging, it's okay. Because at the end of the day, so much research has shown. What you see, what you watch, what you experience has an effect. It's residual. It lays dormant in your brain until that one moment where all of a sudden it pops into your head. And I think that as we, the Bnei Yisrael, we, the Einoklach of Yaakov Avinu, who worked so hard over so many years to build that identity and to repel that which was going to damage who we are, it is incumbent upon each and every one of us to continue to plug away, to learn shtark, to be bali midos, to understand and have a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to intensify our tefillah, and only then can we ensure that that identity that our great-great-grandfather worked so hard to produce will continue. Have a great day.